Good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the one, 95.1 FM and of course 1080 AM radio. 50 years old coming this Thursday, I believe. Oh, what a weekend we had here in Northfield and Randolph and Cannon Falls and in Morristown and Faribault and all over the place. And I have some guests in studio right now. We're going to talk about the neighborhood that I live in. And how wonderful people are in times of need. And we're going to talk about, I had Pat Winter ready to come on the air at 10 o'clock this morning. And, of course, he is the owner with Red Barn in Northfield Township. I went out there last night and took a look and couldn't believe it. And so he was going to come in at 10 o'clock this morning. But the insurance adjuster showed up, so he will not be able to make it. But what we're going to do here today is we're going to have a chronological discussion on how things went. And in studio with me right now, I have sisters Rachel and Naomi Measler, and I also have Jean Benson with us in the studio. We're all neighbors, and we're going to talk about how things go. And what I want to do is start with the fact that my wife was on the way home from work. She works in Owatonna, and it was miserable all the way to Northfield, Minnesota. And when she took the turn off County Road 20 onto 124th Court East, she couldn't go any further because there was a big tree lying across the road. And lo and behold, there were two women that were in the car. And you couldn't even see the car. And my wife was surprised to see these two young ladies at the car. And I got to hear about that firsthand. First of all, I don't know which one of you is Rachel. I don't know which one is Naomi. Okay, Rachel to the left and Naomi in the middle. Okay, and they're twins. We've been living in that neighborhood for 29 years. How long have you been living there?
27.
Let me turn the mics on, okay? 25?
27.
27 years?
So well, our family has.
Yeah.
The two of us have not. But
yeah, but you're little girls, yeah, as the neighborhood grew up, if I remember correctly. I think we bought some Girl Scout cookies from you and some...
lots of fundraisers.
Yeah, a lot of fundraisers, and you're always so nice. And flowers, I think, we bought,
yep,
from you. And watched you grow up, and all of a sudden, you're women, and you're running the show over there. And I'd like to also welcome you, too, Jean. It's nice to see you.
Good morning, Wayne.
Jean Benson, and we all live in the same neighborhood. Okay, so my wife had to get out of the car, and she had to walk from basically the Berg's place, which, of course, our listeners don't know what that is, but about a half a block before we got on to Edwards Way, which was, of course, named after me. I never thought of that, but anyhow, she's all wet, and she comes in the house, and she said, Wayne, you won't believe it. So I thought, well, I better go out and check, and I came out of the driveway, went down Edwards Way, and 124th Court, you couldn't turn left, you couldn't turn right. There were huge trees across the road, and so I just turned around and got back to the house. But then she started telling me about your story, so I'm going to have Rachel and or Naomi tell us exactly what you were doing, trying to fight your way back home when things started looking bad. And one of you have a... voice that is losing. Naomi,
yeah,
okay.
I don't have much of a voice because I used it a lot this weekend.
Naomi, I want you to bring that microphone as close as I'm using mine, and Rachel the same way, okay? And you're going to have to lean in when we talk, Marie. And feel feel free to join anytime. All right.
All right.
All right, Jean. I called you.
Marie.
I called you Marie.
Marie's my middle name, so you're close.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of Jean Benson. Isn't that
Dwayne?
Dwayne's wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, here we go. Girls, where were you coming from, and what happened?
Well, we were coming from town, and as we were driving south on 3, we drove past Menards, and all of Menards and all of Dundas lost power, but we only had rain.
That was a sight to see.
Yeah, we went, oh, all right, there's a storm. But it was impressive to see all of that go out. Turned on to the back way to Faribault onto Cannon City Boulevard, County Road 20, and had rain. Had wind, but really couldn't see like any tornadoes or anything like that. We didn't even hear thunder, lightning. Didn't hear any sirens.
We could still see through the rain.
Yep. Turned into the neighborhood, and my sister so lovely said, "Rachel, there's a tree!" as it fell on us.
On the car.
On the
car.
Yep.
Was stopped.
The car was stopped, but. Because we had seen it, we couldn't see anything as soon as we turned into the neighborhood.
Just as a tornado was going through.
Probably. After the fact, that's what we found out in the middle of it. We had no idea that that's what's happening. But yes, a big tree fell on the car, and it was right on the hood. Huge. I don't even know. Gene's seen it. You've seen it. It's massive.
Yeah.
And we couldn't. It fell right on the. I misspoke, right on the roof of the car. And rolled to the hood. So it fell right on the roof of the car, and we were unable to open any of the doors. At this point, the back windshield was broken out. But we just like, okay, well, what do we do now? Because we couldn't get any of the doors open. So we were pulling out phones, and the tree started to roll towards the hood of the car.
It didn't really fully roll, but
you
got
to turn the mic right to your
mouth.
Okay.
She also doesn't really have much of
a voice.
Yeah, it started to roll towards the hood, and that's when the...
Who was driving?
I was. Okay. Rachel. And that's when the windshield started to bow in. We are incredibly thankful for windshield technology.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Right now, my vehicle does not have a windshield that's out. The windshield is shattered, but it's actually still holding together. It looks like a giant sat on it or something. But, like, there's a big dent in it, but it is holding together. So we dove to the back and were able to get the back door open, and at that point we were able to get out and run to a neighbor's house in the pouring rain.
Which neighbor?
Al Boyam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We could see by that point, the wind was a lot less.
Yeah, he was the closest house because the tree was blocking our way down to the rest of the neighborhood.
No, I heard that you had glass in your hair.
That's not true.
Okay.
We had glass that was, we had sandals on, so we did have glass that we ended up stepping on, because it kind of blew everywhere from that back window. But no, not in our hair so much, mostly on our feet. Well, lots of glass on the ground.
Okay. Well, when I learned that their car had been hit, you know, I made my way down there, and I think I passed that tree 3 times. I'm like, I don't see the car. I don't see the car. Mm-hmm. And then finally someone's like, there it is. I mean, I couldn't even see the car.
Yeah. When we came back out of
buried.
The neighbors, we couldn't see it either. The tree must have shifted again because we couldn't see where the car actually was under there.
Well, and thank goodness Al was home, and then another guy,
His name is Jake from Nurse Strand.
Had pulled over, too, just looking for safety because it was so darn windy, so we just waited the storm out and then came back, and that's when the whole neighborhood started coming out, seeing how bad the damage was.
And the neighborhood was awesome, going door to door, checking on every single neighbor, making sure people were safe, making sure people who were home could get out and weren't trapped, that kind of thing.
I was worried about our next-door neighbors to the right. Because Maria is about 9 months pregnant, I think her her due date was yesterday, and I knew her husband was at work, and so that was a first stop. It was running across the yard to make sure Maria and her little boy were safe, and pounding on the door, and they came to the door, and their eyes were just as big as saucers, and. You know, but they were safe. And, yeah, that was the first thing we did is just make our rounds, put on our puddle boots and our raincoats and made our way around the neighborhood just to make sure all were safe. And it's a miracle that there were no injuries.
The oldest couple in the neighborhood, the Pipers.
The Pipers.
And they have that distinction. I'm close, but...
there are village elders, yes.
They are, yes.
But one of the things that... I'll tell you what happened in my house, okay? this is so crazy because I've chased tornadoes and thunderstorms and did warnings on the air. And literally in 1987, we saved lives. And I'll tell that story off of 19, northeast of Northfield here. There's a row of houses and even a double wide, they call it. And this woman said that the kids were watching cartoons on the couch, and she was listening to the radio, KYMN, and we were giving the warning. And so she ran in and said, "Kids, come on, we have to go downstairs." And she said she hardly got the door closed. It was sucking on it so bad. And they got downstairs, all the noise and all the things that were going on. When they finally came out, they went upstairs, and a huge tree had fallen on the couch, through the roof, onto the couch where the kids were sitting. And she, every time I see her, she said, "You know, you, Kim Radio saved my children's lives, so you feel good about that." But what I was doing, and this is so dumb of me, I was watching the news, and then they came across with that, and usually then they follow that with, "This is a test. This is a test of the EAS system." And it kept going without anybody saying anything. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Then I kind of looked outside, and I saw in my living room patio door, I saw a swirling, like a funnel, not a great big huge one, just the way the leaves and branches going. Then I heard all kinds of noise on the house. And so I went in the bedroom, and where there's a patio door, right, the bed is right near it. And so I'm looking out there, and I see, I keep thinking I'm hearing lightning, thunder. And it was trees that were cracking. And I'm looking, and here comes a tree. So I back up to get out of there. And, of course, the bed's right there. So I end up sitting on the bed, and the tree is coming, and it lands on the deck. And the very tippy top of this tree leaned up against the patio door. And when I opened the patio door, the rest of the top of the tree popped in. But it was just those little skinny branches, you know. But the tree had broken about halfway up or more. If it had broken on ground, it would have taken out that whole part of our house. So we counted our fortune on that. But the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I have my neighbors here this morning is because of the great effort of Rachel and Naomi Meisler and the rest of the family. Is it Meisler or Meisler?
Meisler.
Meisler, okay. Your dad is a hero to me, by the way. You know that story. But I was just amazed at these little girls that we watched grow up in the neighborhood, you know, selling their flowers and candy and all the other stuff for the track team and cross-country team, are all of a sudden are taking over. And you're the ones that came closest to getting hurt with the tree falling on your car. Now, I should let people know that most houses survived. There's some damage. Rick Rissert on the corner there, his garage was wiped out in the back of his house. But anyhow, when you don't have electricity and you have a little bit of anxiety going on, what are you going to do? Number one, you're in the dark. Number two, you have no water. Number three, you have no communication. Number four, you're wondering what's going to happen. What do we do now? And you ladies took over, and I want you to be in detail, if you will, on how did you decide to take over, and when did you decide to take over? Well, you know, don't be humble. I mean, you did. You took over, right?
Well, I think they should be in charge of FEMA.
Yes.
they did that good of a job. Honest to Pete, they were awesome.
And by the way, my memory's you know, sometimes short. When I hear something, I have to say it while I remember it. Rick Rissert and
Riesberg. Riesberg.
Riesberg. I say Riesberg, but yeah.
Okay.
Julie. Anyhow, Rick, the president of the Franzen State Bank, his house was one that was hurt worse. Friday morning, what a sight to see.
Yeah.
Friday morning, he and one of his employees were going through the neighborhood with hot coffee and donuts.
Yeah.
Water.
And water. And water. They were the first to arrive.
Yeah. And he said, we're the local FEMA organization. But, but I mean, you know.
Donuts on the go.
It's amazing how on that Friday morning in the dark, no blah, 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 how a cup of coffee and a donut really helped, you know. So he was the first one on the scene, and we appreciate that. But now, getting back to, by the way, you're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair. KYMN is on the air, obviously. 9:20 is our time on this beautiful Monday morning. First day of fall, I think today is.
I think we missed it. I think it was it was like the day the tornado hit or something like that.
21st, I think it was. Yeah. What is today's date?
24th, I think.
Oh, my gosh, already.
Time flies.
Kim Radio will be 50 years old in 3 days. So, anyhow, let's do it chronologically and, you know, do it in detail. When did you decide that we got to get things going? People out here need things.
Well, I think the first thing, and this is such amazing work too. You know, it was dark, and we were all kind of still we were still in shock, I think,
and shaking.
And after making sure everybody in the neighborhood was safe, then it was the task of clearing the road. So in case we did have an emergency, that we could get vehicles in and out. So here it is, we're all still shaking.
The sun's almost down.
Yeah, it's almost nighttime.
At this point, it's probably like 7:30 or something, 7:15, I'm not sure.
And I just could not believe how everybody in the neighborhood grabbed their chainsaws, and we cleared that road by at least 10 o'clock. Yeah.
I think a bunch of neighbors, when they, like the dads from the end and whatever, when they came out to check in everyone, they just grabbed their chainsaw because they knew things were going to need to happen fast, which was amazing.
And I don't even know, none of us, I'm sure, can even guess how many trees were down across the road. It's in too large a number to even guess. But basically, you couldn't walk more than two steps without having to step over something.
Yeah, so we've got our flashlights and our headlamps. And
it's still raining initially.
Yeah, and we're all hugging each other. Yeah. And, you know,
there
like
are
I said,
tears.
We were in such shock. And just that, we're all safe. And just that closeness and the hugs and the tears. And
there were people from town who came out as well to help. Some of our friends from town, the Beisel family, came out. As well as some others came out to also help chainsaw up. We know of some other people who are out. I know Jeff and Terry were out too. It was just incredible to see the community in our neighborhood show up. And we love our neighborhood, of course. Yeah. But then to have other people show up too to help clear out, because we had no idea if there was going to be an emergency. At this point, we don't even know. Like, we didn't have power. But what if there was a spark? Anything like that. We needed it clear.
Yeah.
And I think by 10 o'clock, I think we had realized that it was probably too dangerous to keep working.
Yes.
So as long as we had, there was still a big tree down by your house, but
correct,
at least we could get in and out.
One way around the neighborhood. And
those trees were huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And these guys with their chainsaws, I was amazed. I'm not a macho guy, you know, and I know that somewhere down deep, these guys were kind of enjoying, you know, being out there with those chainsaws.
I don't know if they were enjoying it on Thursday
I mean, they were doing something.
Yeah, yeah. They were happy to help.
Yeah. You know what I did? My help? I drove my car out on the street and had my lights on the trees.
So they could see the blackout there. We needed the light.
Yeah. There were a few cars that turned on lights like that,
I think that night, though, by the time the road was cleared enough that we knew there was a way for everyone to get in, the cars, because people kept coming into the neighborhood after the storm was done, and we just turned the very entrance of the neighborhood into a parking lot and so we could get cars through. And people showed up from work and like, oh, my gosh, what can I do? Tell me where. And they just started pulling branches off and whatever. So by that end of that night, and everybody's like, all right, we're done, we all knew that there was going to be a lot more to do, but we were glad everyone was safe.
And I think when we all woke up in the morning light, we were even more shocked at the devastation that we couldn't see the night before because of the darkness.
And once again, the thing that's really amazing, you know, I think we're all proud to live in a wooded neighborhood.
Well, that's why we live there.
You know, the privacy that it provides and all that, and everybody has their own way to keep their yard, et cetera. And to see all of those trees on the road, crossing the road, and huge. I was going to go out and measure the circumference or diameter, and I never did. But, you know, some of them were at least 4 or 5 feet in diameter. And and they're huge and they're heavy. And
their root balls are the size of a
yeah.
car.
Right. Or bigger, yeah.
And the Boyums, Al Boyum's place, had these beautiful evergreens.
Yeah, they lost
and they just tipped over and the big mm-hmm. roots and the big water there. It was pretty something. But then when we did get up on a Friday morning, I know that they were cutting on Thursday night, and then because of the danger involved, and who knows what. Fortunately, we're underground wiring,
yes.
so
yeah,
we didn't have that. But so Rick comes by with the coffee and mm-hmm. the donuts. So when did you ladies kick in, too?
Well,
by the way, my guests this morning include Gene Benson and Naomi and Rachel Miesler,
correct.
And these two young ladies graduated from, where did you go to the college?
I went to St. Olaf.
I went to Luther College in Decorah, Iowa.
Yep.
What was that like, separating?
After that's a different story.
That's a different story, but I mean, great. We had great experiences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you're Northfield High graduates or homeschooled?
Homeschooled.
Yeah.
But you were athletes for Northfield.
No.
Nope.
You,
musicians you were, around.
Well, how did you get in the...
Lots of church stuff. Lots yeah. of church fundraisers mm-hmm. is what you're remembering.
I mean, didn't you have the cross-country
We
track?
Did here.
That's a different story.
So
tell that story.
So we backtrack.
Well, if we're going chronological, we'll back up a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
Before they came.
So we were coming from work, and both of us work at Downtown Bicycles on Division Street for an amazing family. And had been in touch with them, and they were like, you're going to go out and check out the storm, right? And we were like, well, whatever.
They know we enjoy storms.
We like watching.
We were not out to check out the storm.
No, definitely not. And so I had been in touch with them, and then I was like, oh, my gosh, we got to let someone know something. And so immediately they were like, well, how can we help? Can we come on out? So they came on out, and they, Tom and Elijah and Josh, two of his sons, all showed up and helped where they could until it got dark. And then I don't think by that point we knew school was going to be late, but
no.
we just kind of assumed like there were going to be kids that wouldn't be able to get there. And Josh is one of the captains. He's a senior and one of the captains on the cross country team. And he was like, well, if we jokingly don't have school, we'll come back out. Because everybody just kind of assumed. We didn't know what to assume, but how would you cancel school for this, right? It's usually just blizzards. No more than like 2 minutes after school was canceled the next morning, I hear from Josh, how can we help? We're coming out. We're organizing the cross-country team. What can we do? How many senior boys would do? I mean, he's amazing. That was a huge initiative he undertook. The girls' swim team joined that as well. Mm-hmm. And so since they were contacting us, we're like, all right, we're just going to start. I mean, there was never a decision of whether or not we were going to do this. Of course we were going to help people. We had people wanting, let's organize.
And
so they all just showed up.
Jeff and Terry were out the night before, and so when our names got out with the story of us being under a tree, emphasizing the fact that we were okay, and when that got out, we had more and more people contacting us saying, how are you? How's your neighborhood? What can we do to help?
Yep.
And so we just said yes to everyone. We can use our help. Like, we personally could, but more importantly, the whole neighborhood could use help. And then we started learning about other people who could use hands as well across the whole city. So we had people saying, you know, I have a group of four. Where can we go? Okay, we're going to send you out to this farm right outside of town, you know, whatever it is. So we just took advantage of the opportunity that people were contacting us.
Mm-hmm. And then it was partway through the morning, a bunch of friends who had reached out, one of them, I think she shot me a text and said, I just sent you an email that went out that might help. It turns out the email came, I think it came through 50 North, but ultimately from Northfield Shares with a phone number and email, and now it's just an email. But I had contacted them and said, here's what we need. Let us know. And they've been great at Northfield Shares to help organize.
Who was the fellow that one of you introduced me to yesterday from
Northfield? That was Bob Thacker.
Yeah, Bob Thacker was out.
We've been in touch with Mark, though.
Okay.
Mike, sorry.
So I'm wondering, I always got the, excuse me, the impression of Northfield Shares was more for, you know, like nonprofit organizations, and they helped, like they helped the defeated Jesse James Days Committee. I didn't know they had something to do during a
situation
like ours.
So I can't speak to exactly what, like how they've been involved in this, but I do know they have been working closely with the city of Northfield to say, yeah, we'll be the point people for gathering information. So Northfield Shares has been and is still ongoing gathering. If you want to help, tell them and like when you're available to help, and they'll try to connect you with someone who needs help. And, same thing if you
and
need
the resources.
Help. Correct. If you need help, contact them and they'll try to get people to help you. But they've got a list of specific needs and specific volunteers as well as resources.
Now, yesterday we checked on our my wife has an aunt that is like 91 years old. And we tried to contact her, and we could not contact her. So we went over to this place in Cannon Falls, right off 19 when you drive into town. It's on the left, and it's assisted living. And they evacuated the fourth floor with dementia, and then everybody else had to just hang in there. And so she couldn't contact us, and we couldn't contact her. Because, you know, they were out of electricity, et cetera. But the thing, I don't know if you saw the picture. Did you see the picture of the tornadoes that, mm-hmm. that was taken from mm-hmm. Cannon Falls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it three or four? Four.
I think there's four.
Yeah.
There are four, but, you know, I was reading some other newscasts, and now they're, the weather services, they're thinking there were 10.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard 11.
Yeah.
But, folks, I don't know if you can find it on Facebook or
it
anywhere.
It's all over.
I have, when I looked at that, I got the chills. Mm-hmm. And the caption said, taken from Cannon Falls viewing towards Northfield. And there are four tornadoes
side by side.
I mean, it was like somebody arranged them and put them in mm-hmm. to be equally apart and everything so they wouldn't get together, and they're just coming at you.
Can I back up about Cannon
please.
Falls? So my husband, Marty Benson's my mother-in-law, Hazel, is in the nursing home right on the edge of Cannon Falls as you drive in.
The one that...
There's the nursing home, and then there's the Twin Rivers, which my mother lives in.
Yeah, Twin Rivers.
So there's two campuses. So my mother-in-law was at the nursing home. I think what happened is their generators died. They evacuated those residents to the high school in Cannon Falls, and from there... they distributed those residents. So we weren't sure where my mother-in-law was even going. And, you know, we were so tied up with our own stuff. So she ended up, I think, in Crystal at a nursing home. And then my mother, who was at Twin Rivers, I was starting to get texts from my high school friends, because at Cannon Falls is where I grew up, saying, we heard they evacuated Twin Rivers. And I said, well, I just talked to my mom last night, and she's still there.
Right.
No power, but she's still there. And so when we got a hold of my mother, she said, well, if they evacuated Twin Rivers, they forgot me. But then we did learn it was the fourth floor.
Fourth floor is what they did. So your mother and my wife's aunt probably know each other.
Probably.
You know, it's a nice place.
Yeah,
Twin Rivers. And I got there. My wife went up to the third floor. And when I waited and said, well, evidently things are okay. They're visiting. And so I went in. And as I went in, all of a sudden there was a huge cheer. And I thought, oh, they know me. Actually, the electricity had just come on.
Yeah.
And so the elevator worked, so I could take the elevator up.
So on Saturday morning... that was our task. We have to find out where our mothers are. And I'm not sure even to this morning where my mother-in-law is. I imagine it would take some time to bring them back and settle them in again. But
Gene Benson is my guest this morning, as is Naomi and Rachel Measler. And we're talking about what the neighborhood did. I know that you may have had your problems or none at all, but I thought it'd be interesting to show how wonderful people are in times of needs. We'll take a brief break and we'll be back in a flash right after this important time out on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Hello, this is Josh Kerr. My wife and I received bad news in 2006 when I was diagnosed with cancer. In addition to my growing health concerns, medical bills were piling up. I beat cancer, but I learned the struggles families face with the skyrocketing cost of health care. I'm running to be your state representative to be a voice at the Capitol who will fight for affordable health care. I will work across the aisle to lower costs and assure you are able to keep your doctor. November 6th, vote for me, Josh Gehr, to be your next state representative.
Paid for by Friends of Josh Gehr.
This is Julie Pritchard, Chair of the Northfield School Board. We have listened intently to our community to understand your priorities for moving the school district forward. You have told us to focus our efforts on the elementary and early childhood facility needs, school security, and to minimize the impact to you, the taxpayers. The Northfield School District bond referendum is in response to what we heard. With a crowded November ballot, please take time to become informed about this important local issue. Information about the bond can be found on the Northfield School District's website. Be sure to vote on November 6th. Thank you for your support.
Prepared and paid for by Northfield Public Schools.
Four people in the studio, myself, and of course we have Rachel and Naomi Miesler, as well as Gene Benson. They're from my neighborhood, and I thought what better way than to tell folks what it's like to have great neighbors and great community backing you up in times of need. One of the young ladies has to leave. I believe, Rachel, you have to get to work at 10 o'clock. So anyhow, let's doing it chronologically. Okay, we got Rick Rissert, coffee and donuts Friday morning, early
yep.
Friday morning. Okay, now we're without electricity, without water, without telephones, landlines, mm-hmm. and you got contacted by some kids that you know, mm-hmm. and young, it was so funny to see those skinny young ladies, you know, juniors and seniors.
But so strong and
yes.
awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Great attitude.
High energy.
I was going to say, here they are, you know, and carrying these big branches, but I saw them working, but then it just grew and grew
yep.
and grew. So after the kids came out,
the coffee and donut delivery happened, and neighbors slowly started coming out. Some neighbors had already been in town staying with family and friends. Just to have a place to stay that had running water. And so neighbors slowly started coming back out, checking things out, connecting with other neighbors, seeing who needed what, assessing the situation, and kind of just, I don't think anybody purposely prioritized, but what needed to happen where. But as we assessed what the damage was, there was one side of the neighborhood that you can really see where the V of the tornado went.
Yeah,
it's actually right behind Gene Benson's house.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Rick and Denise Hukey live on one side of us, and you can, I mean, we had a big wall of trees back there, and now I feel like we're kind of in a subdivision. We can see forever, so it's just kind of eerie to see the loss of all those trees.
Yep.
The other priority, because so many trees went down over our driveways,
yes.
was getting that,
yep. Yep.
those trees and that debris removed from our driveways so people could get in and out of their homes. So that was a priority, too.
And then also just knowing that people had started to contact insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
And knowing some insurance companies said we need to look at it first, and others said this is, you know, what you can do with it before somebody looks at it or whatever. So we then started to hear, okay, this house has to wait, even though it's probably pretty bad. Everybody's safe, and they have to wait for insurance to come look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we started prioritizing then, let's get driveways clear, and let's make sure that we can see more, you know, what, actually, as we get into driveways, where hands are most helpful.
Mm-hmm. So Friday morning was mostly assessment, a lot of chatting with neighbors to see how they were doing and what was needed. And I think it just became super quickly clear that we're like, well, we have a minimum of 20 high school students coming out here at 12:30. So let's get them to where we need the help first. And then it just kind of snowballed in the best way possible from there.
Yeah, and I think, didn't you ask them to check in with you at your
they
home?
Did,
and then these two wonderful young women, you know, they supervised the volunteers. They directed the kids where to go and what to do. And, you know, so they were supervised. So there wasn't chaos when the volunteers came out. These two organized the volunteers and got them to the places where they were needed
the
most.
We made sure to divide them up into teams so the students were together in smaller groups, but then they could help more people too. And we also knew, so there's one, as you know, there's one cul-de-sac off of 124th Court, and most of us have ditches. The cul-de-sac doesn't have as many ditches, so they actually had to physically haul out trailer loads of stuff. And so, lots of hands were needed there to haul. And so we just started, you know, sending groups to houses and checking in. We both hopped on bikes because it was easier over the past few days to get from house to house to make sure that homeowners felt like they had hands that they needed. And if not, we kept redistributing. Because some people contacted us and said, hey, we're coming. And others showed up and said, put me to work.
And the Bethel Church comes into play on that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised that old and young, and I'm saying, well, where are you folks from? Well, we're from Bethel Church. And then I see somebody else. One was an elderly gentleman, and he was lifting like anybody else. And I said, well, where are you from? He said, we're from the Rotary Club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, go ahead.
So I was going to say, to backtrack a little bit, that first Friday then, it's all still kind of a blur, but that's when we got the information about Northfield Shares. And so I had been in contact with them, and then he called me and said, the Rotary Club really wants to help. I'm going to send them your way. Or maybe the Rotary Club just contacted me. I don't remember. But anyway, they contacted us and said, what do you need? How can we help? And I said, oh, my gosh, we'll take any hands you've got. Tools, at this point, we're still coming up with a plan, but they wanted to show up at 8 o'clock, and so that's when it became super... That was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
That's when it became super, super clear that we needed a head base, and we... a bunch of people had contacted us about donations and whatnot, so there were donations from in town for water, and we eventually organized food, and that's going ahead a little bit. But so that next plan, that as of the end of the day Friday, we just knew what people needed, made sure we had a list of what each neighbor's needs were, and at 8 a.m., by that side of time, our side of the neighborhood was a whole lot better. So we turned our side into Parking Row and then walked everybody around and just got to work and dispersed again.
On Saturday, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Friday morning, too, you know, we were just kind of awestruck with the amount of damage, and we weren't sure what to do with the debris. I hope we did the right thing. Ben Percy, another neighbor, kind of made the rounds, and he said, well, from what I know, we can haul all the debris into our ditches, and then hopefully someday, some month,
yeah, the township,
some year, either the township or the county will help remove all that debris. So again, it was so helpful for these, for this, you know, the swim team and the cross country boys, yeah, to just haul that debris to the ditches.
And some of those logs were huge.
Oh yeah, they took 4 and 5 people to pick up and carry, and they didn't like blink an eye. They said, we've got it. And he said, we can get another chainsaw over here to cut it up. So, nope, we've got it. And they did. And they just kept going. They were laughing. They brought such good positive energy too. And we kept telling them how awesome they were. And I'm not sure they believe it yet, but they are. They are fantastic.
The girls at our house, they're like, you have such a lovely home. And I'm like, well, thank you. It's not the best it's ever looked, but thank you.
And they kept saying, well, at least it's more fun than school.
Oh, and, Cindy Varley, one of their coaches, was driving through checking up on her swimmers, and I told Cindy, I said, I think the girls can skip the weight training today. they've had plenty out here.
What were there a lot of gawkers? I saw some cars. Yeah. I didn't know whether they were helpers or gawkers.
No. We had a fair
the
number.
Helpers parked and walked around and worked. There were plenty of cars that did drive through as just gawkers, and we realized that it is extreme, and maybe you haven't seen it before, but it was actually really hard because we normally have a 2-lane road, and right now it's 1 lane, and it's actually going to be 1 lane for a long time until stuff is cleaned up.
Yeah. In hindsight, so we really probably should have had somebody at the entrance saying, gawker or
or helper.
But, yeah. Well, next time, we'll know.
Next time, yeah. Oh, there better not be a next time.
So on Friday afternoon, we got the teams out there. And then how about later on into Friday when people were without water, electricity, and food? And
so we had some people contacting us who said, you know, I really, really want to help. I just don't know how to help because I can't do physical labor. And so we said, we're still without power and water. These are donations that could be used. And so we had friends calling, and this was Saturday as well, friends calling Culligan Water. Culligan has been amazing. They've donated whole bunches of 5-gallon jugs of water. I think we're up to like 50-something gallon, 5-gallon jugs donated or something. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Family Fair donated cases of water that night that we went back out and took to neighbors. Because at this point, you're out of, I mean, we're on a well system, so we didn't have any running water. But you're also like, you need to stay hydrated. Mm-hmm. So we had a whole bunch of donations that started coming in that Friday. Food station, we have neighbors right across from Gene.
How did they find out about that, do you think?
Donations?
Yeah, I mean, the people that like Family Food.
Oh, we called
them. Family Fair.
We called them. When we
knew. Or friends called.
We had heard that Cub Foods had already donated thousands of dollars of food to be prepared, I believe, on Friday to be taken out. And, you know, they just said try calling other places. Another memo came through that Walgreens would was
that
interested in
through.
Donating. That came through.
Say that again.
Walgreens was interested in donating.
And?
And so that came through Northfield Shares, and they did. They donated batteries and water as well. So, I mean, it helped when the city and Northfield Shares got the word out that they were kind of the central people.
Okay.
And then they sent, through Northfield Shares mostly, they sent names to us or contact information so people would just call us. But it was really helpful to have that coming, and then it just kept coming, and it still hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. I had people call me this morning and say, hey, where can I provide food this week?
So Friday, after a long, long day,
yeah.
a couple of our neighbors ordered oodles and oodles of pizza mm-hmm. from Domino's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it was just so nice at the end of a really hard day to just gather and have nourishment together. Yeah. And several of us brought over some warm beer.
Yeah.
and we said, oh, the beer is at least wet. We don't care if it's warm or not. But it was just nice to have that companionship and that camaraderie and just that closeness and, you know, knowing that we were all in it together. And, it was just really a good feeling to
me. My daughter, Angel, came down, and she had a friend that had a chainsaw. Mm-hmm. And those two went to work on a couple of the trees in our backyard, the one that was on the deck, etc. And while we were doing... I was mostly watching, but along came what's her name? Liz, right behind me.
Stacy
comes walking up with two pizzas, one pepperoni.
That might have been Lisa Percy, actually.
It could have been Lisa or Stacy.
Oh, yeah. You know, they all will. When you get to my
they're
age,
good friends.
They all look alike, especially you two. But they're twins, folks. But
identical.
Anyhow, it wasn't Stacy.
I think it was Lady Lisa.
Okay. Where does she live?
Down in the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
She's next to Adam.
John.
Bertolf.
Well, John... Formerly John.
Yeah,
Adam,
and then the Rawls, and then,
then the Hershey's.
And he brought a bunch of buddies in to help.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyhow, we're in the backyard on the deck, and she walks with two pizzas. They were warm, mm-hmm. and one was pepperoni, and one was sausage. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you just chomp down on there. You get hungry cutting mm-hmm. wood and all that.
Yeah. Never tasted
and
so good.
And I didn't know how those got there. Was that through the share or through a neighbor?
I think they...
Neighbors bought them.
I think neighbors bought them, yeah.
Well, do you want to know something? When she brought those, I was on the phone going to call Domino's and order a bunch of pizzas.
Yeah.
And then I go, wow, you know. So whoever
fast service.
Yeah. whoever did that, thank you very much.
Angela and Joe.
Well, you know, Marty and I have lived out in that neighborhood for 32 years, and that's where our girls were born and grew up. And my daughter Callie and her husband came down later on Friday. And, you know, they saw the pictures, and we had talked to them, and... You know, Callie said I was kind of braced for the worst, you know, and she said, and when she came down the road and into our driveway, she just burst into tears. Yeah.
You
know,
can't brace yourself for it.
Yeah, she just, Mom, I just had no idea it was this bad.
That's her little home that she grew up in.
That's her home and her neighbors. The Hukies, their son Brett came from St. Cloud first thing Friday with his chainsaw and his wagon.
Crystal's son
came
down.
So the neighborhood kids that grew up there, several of them mm-hmm. came home and to help, which... Mm-hmm. And my daughter, Abby, lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She goes, Mom, should I get in the car and drive home right now? And I'm like, no, you stay put.
You notice how she called it home.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess there's a lot of people that I want to be sure that we thank. And one of them is going to be the QB, the quarterback club. And the reason I say that is because they sponsor the Wayne Eddy Affair. And I usually talk about their great breakfasts until 10 o'clock every morning except Sunday. I talk about their fish sandwiches. I talk about their flame-broiled burgers. And I talk about their baby-back barbecued ribs with mountains of oozeness all over them in the form of a special sauce. I talk about their roasted chicken. And I had some hot, warm roasted chicken yesterday. What's the story behind that?
I missed the chicken. Where was I?
Well, so we have lots and lots of people, clearly, who've been donating.
These
gals
have kept
this
a
list.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think the chicken was, I'm not sure if it was donated by the quarterback club. It might have been donated by
some
community
friends.
Members and friends in town that purchased it and donated it. I know they brought it out, but they had Culver's donated food yesterday. And then we had volunteers who still didn't eat, and this awesome friend, Patty Geary, had said, let me know if you need anything else. So I was like, this is a big ask, but there's still more food needed. And so it came.
Yeah, they didn't blink.
It just shows up.
We made sure to coordinate food for breakfast and lunch for the past couple of days, as well as lots of snacks for volunteers and neighbors, so everybody has energy. And we still have a bunch of food that's non-perishable, which is amazing. So thank you to everyone who donated. We honestly don't even know who all donated.
No.
Who made the brownies, the butterscotch brownies?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Remember
if I saw
those?
Big, yeah.
Big tray of them, homemade.
Oh, that was Kristen Kibble.
Yeah, yeah.
Who? Kristen Kibble, a Bethel person.
Okay.
The tavern brought out lots of good food.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have a picture here. They brought out their very world-famous chicken stew. And on the top of the containers, and it was hot, the top of the containers there was a little sticker that said, from our kitchen to yours. In time of need. Oh, I'm going to start crying. Best wishes and blessings from the Tavern of Northfield.
You know what?
So
I got that. I had some of that soup.
Yeah.
And I didn't have my glasses.
That's what the label said, Wayne.
And thank you, because I was wondering. I assumed that it might have said from the tavern or something like that, but I couldn't make it out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you just read that, because I'm going, holy cow, hot soup, homemade soup from the tavern, you know, because you told me it was from the tavern. And
that
was pretty cool. Everything was pretty cool, you know. Batteries like you.
I know, right?
You two young ladies driving around on your bicycles. Hey, do you need batteries? Hey, do you need brownies?
Well, and then people were giving us, the bricks, the power charges for our
phones were dying.
Our phones were dying, and we were turning on our cars and plugging in our phones.
Yeah, what did they give you?
Oh,
they're
called
power bricks.
Power bricks.
Yeah. So you can,
what are those?
It's like a battery backup.
It's like a battery pack for to charge your phone.
It's just a big mega battery, and you plug in your phone.
Oh, like you do normally in a wall.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they too wear out. So
they do.
Yeah. My wife actually. I've got a car that when you plug in the phones in the car, you turn the car off and go to bed at night. When you get up in the morning, the phone is charged.
Nice.
I mean, it just keeps that flow going. And my wife, who has a newer car, hers doesn't do that. It has to run while she's getting the charge.
At least with my car, I found I had to run
the
car.
Had to run it, yeah. Which then you're using up fuel, and it doesn't feel good to just have your car idling
there.
I know, a neighbor goes, Jean, do you know that your car is running in the garage?
I think that was me.
Was that you?
Yeah, I was like, why is your car running?
My wife did the same thing. And there's
my phone.
A big puddle of water underneath, from the condensation.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm looking for Julie, and I open the garage door from the kitchen. I look, and what are you doing out there? I'm charging my phone with your car running. Well, I'm going to take a final break this hour because one of the young ladies has to get to work. We'll be back in a flash in just a moment here.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
This is Ben Martig, City Administrator for the City of Northfield. Did you know that if you decide to vote yes on the Civic Center and Parks and Recreation Improvement Referendum on November 6th, up to $3 million or more is expected to be generated to support parks, trails, and recreational facilities in Northfield and Dundas? Northfield and Dundas will vote to approve a half-cent local option sales tax that is expected to generate $10 million or more over 20 years. There are many things on the November 6th ballot. This local issue matters to all of us. Please visit the City of Northfield at ci.northfield.mn.us for more information. Be informed and vote on November 6th.
This informational message has been provided by the City of Northfield.
Live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota, you're listening to the 95.1 FM and 1080 AM, 50 years on Thursday. This is the Wayne Eddy Affair. We have lost one of the young ladies that was helping us describe what it was like. And Rachel had to go to work, and we have her twin sister, Naomi Miesler, in studio with us right now. And we have Gene Benson, and they're both neighbors. And I thought when hopefully KYMN Radio would be back on the air, because they were off, you know, for a couple of days, I wanted to put together an interesting show, and I thought a nice story would be how a neighborhood works together when there are times. Now, number one, no injuries. None whatsoever. Wait a minute, you got one?
We had a fatality at our house.
Uh-huh. What?
One of our koi fish in the pond was belly up yesterday.
Oh, so sad.
Gene.
I think that's the biggest fatality of all of Minnesota, which is so good.
I think the tree fell on the pond, and then, of course, the aeration hasn't been running, so I'm sure the poor little guy was just like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you took me by surprise. I thought, oh. But fortunately, we did not have any animals, fish.
We're all good other than my little fish.
Yes. And of course, we're going to be taking a break for the news at 10 o'clock, but what about the chainsaws? Where do all those come from? I know
we live in the woods. We all have chainsaws,
well,
I think.
I have an electric one.
I think at least half a dozen people have electric ones.
Yeah.
Eventually, yesterday, we had a lot of generators that people had let us borrow. Random people from town, they're amazing. Just saw on Facebook, we needed generators. So we used some of those for chainsaws, which was amazing. But then the word got out really quickly that we needed gas-powered chainsaws to come on out because we couldn't use the electric ones. And they just, I mean, there are people that just showed up in the neighborhood saying,
well, they're
where
a little
you
small, the electric ones, I think. I don't know. You know, you couldn't do what some of those trees, those guys were doing with those big trees.
Well, and
how did they come, how did they get those huge, huge trees cut in pieces? How did they do that?
You know, Marty doesn't have a giant chainsaw, but you know, we had a double trunked basswood come down over our driveway. Two trunks of a basswood tree that came down over our driveway, and they were, like you said, probably 4 feet in diameter, and he just very slowly and patiently just worked that saw.
We did also have a lot of people show up, either friends of friends or family or just people who had heard we needed help, who have experience taking down trees. And so they really knew what they were doing, too. They knew their services would be greatly appreciated, which is amazing.
Well, another thing that really surprised me was when you or your sister, I'm doing okay now, though, but as a matter of fact, a little story is Rachel had asked me a question and gave me directions about something, and I was in my car, and then I went around the corner and you stopped me and said, well, we're doing this at this time and that, and I said, you just told me that 5 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, Naomi. It was Rachel. Where do you, the generators, for example, you or your sister said, Wayne, do you need a generator? Well, yeah, okay. And you said, okay, we'll drop one off. And here comes a beautiful, look like a brand new generator, and they work like a charm. And where'd you get generators?
I mean, if people need things, we're going to try and make it happen. And so we just used the connections that we had, and they had connections. We had two people working with us from our church, really good friends of ours, Julie Jenkinson and Kristen Kivel, who just super quickly were like, tell me what to do. How can I help you organize? And so they were a part of our organization team, which was amazing because they weren't necessarily in the neighborhood at all times. So they had more capability of communicating with people outside.
Were the people? I mean,
Saturday night, Marty and I were just getting ready to go someplace to eat dinner and knock on the door, and there was this lovely young couple with their daughter, and they're like, are you Gene and Marty? And we're like, yes. Well, we have a generator for you. And we're like, oh, somebody named Naomi told us that you need a generator. And so it was full of gas. They helped us, you know, complete strangers. And, you know, we chatted for a while, and I said, you know, I should probably get your name because I'm probably going to need to call you when, you know, we're done using it. But again, you know, just a local family, and they brought out their generator. Mm-hmm. We still have it, and we're still using it, unfortunately. Yeah. But
you're still using it.
We don't have power. That's another story.
What?
We'll get there.
Well,
it's 10 o'clock, and I have to take a break for the news. Actually, I don't have a newscast ready to go, so I'm going to play my second hour theme song to give us a break and collect our thoughts and continue our conversation, all right? And by law, you have to identify the radio station 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after the hour within that 10-minute window, so I'll identify the station. We are in a three-story building located on Division. This is your radio station, KYMN 1080 AM radio, and the one 95.1 FM from Northfield, Minnesota. It is 10 o'clock. All ages know that song. I have a young lady by the name of Naomi that isn't anywhere near 64 years old, and she knew the song. And in addition to that, we have a woman that celebrated her 64th birthday on Saturday, this last Saturday.
Yeah, right, and what a block party we had.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! In honor of my birthday.
Yeah, we all were there.
Yes,
boy,
you were.
Boy, I'll tell you, things were a-buzzin'.
Chainsaw music, people out, hugs.
Good food.
Yep.
What did you do on, did you do anything?
You know, we were, our family was going to drive to Pepin for dinner last night, just take a nice afternoon and go, and I said, you know what, I am so pooped, and there's so much more work to be done, we can celebrate another day, so I just wanted to be with my
hood.
Well, you heard that Pat Winter was celebrating his mother's 77th birthday on the night of the tornado. And I was out talking to Pat Winter yesterday, and he was going to be my guest at this hour. However, the insurance adjusters came out to check out the Red Barn, and so he can't be with us this morning, and he expresses his condolences to those that have property damage. Fortunately, no injury reported anywhere. And anyhow, I went out there, and for those that haven't heard the story, Pat, along with maybe another dozen family members, were celebrating his mother's 77th birthday. And they were in the barn where they had a wedding coming up Friday night and Saturday night. And the Red Barn, by the way, is a place where every Wednesday you can go and get homemade firewood, oven baked, yep, or whatever it's called, pizza, enjoy the animals and the farm and the barn and all that. Well, they were celebrating his mother's birthday on Thursday, and along came the tornado. They were in the barn. The wife said, "We got to get out of here." And they went downstairs. It had a little cubbyhole, 4 feet by 4 feet, and all these people stuffed themselves inside that.
Thank goodness. Then
it hit, and the barn was totaled. As a matter of fact, some of the sheet metal from that farm is all twisted in a tree. It's quite a visual. And fortunately, nobody got hurt. And, of course, he said that he had a lot of people that came out and helped him. And we're going to tell the story how the people that had a wedding party there Friday night and the people from Saturday night were taken care of one way or the other. And that whole story would be very interesting. And perhaps tomorrow Pat can come in and share that with us. But what do you mean you're without power, Jean? I'm surprised.
Well, we're getting out of chronological order, but
okay. Well, let's go. No, let's do it chronologically. I requested that when we first got together, so let's do it chronologically. Okay.
Oh, so are we back to Saturday?
I think we're back to Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. What happened Saturday?
What did happen Saturday? Saturday was when the Rotarians showed up. They didn't know how many they'd have. They just put out a call for, "We want to come help, bring these tools, show up if you're able." We had quite a lot. I actually don't even know the number, but we had a lot, which was amazing. And so by that point...
By the way, I have to say, do you remember what my job was?
Yes, running people to Target for bathrooms.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know
that. Yeah, it was so incredibly helpful. We needed that.
Yeah, and I couldn't physically do anything. You know, I can't run a chainsaw. So what can I do? I want to do something. And can you make bathroom runs? And I said, I sure will. So I just kept going around the circle and potty.
The potty shuttle.
Yep, and I got them. And the reason that reminded me of that is one of the ladies with a really, I thought it was Russian, but like a Croatian name, last name, was physically working hard. I was kind of watching her, and she was one on my bathroom trip to Target. And on the way back, I was talking to her, and she was a Rotarian.
Yep.
And I went, "Oh, I did." That was when I first learned the Rotary was out there. I said, "Oh, well, that's nice." I kind of get chills when I think about it, because here's this woman in the Rotary, and she's out there working her butt off. I mean, she was hauling.
They also brought out a bunch of the Rotary Youth Exchange students from Northfield.
A bunch of what?
The Rotary Youth Exchange students.
Oh, okay.
Which was fabulous. Some of them had come out the day before, so when the cross-country and swim teams were out, after they had divided and conquered across town, and after they were done at some of the locations where they could be helpful, they called friends and said, "Where are you? Do you still need help?" So eventually we ended up with over 40 out by us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those kids and their families also came back in the last couple of days as well. So Saturday we really had a crazy boatload of volunteers, which was amazing. And so my sister and I were like, "I guess we got to hop on bikes so we can get around fast enough to get everybody the needs they have." And made it happen, I guess.
Well, I know that Joanne Mays, who you just saw out here, works at Kim Radio part-time, and a dear friend of Jeff and Terry Johnson, own the radio station. And Jeff came over Friday morning to see if I was okay. And then he and Terry came back and got busy with the maize because they lost a ton of trees in the back end of their house. Just an amazing amount of trees. Then you have to haul them up the hill and through
over
the yard
the fence
and into the
into the ditch.
Okay, I don't want to get out of chronological order, or Gene's going to get me.
We also had neighbors that were on vacation, Steve and Colleen, and they also took a terrible hit.
Yeah.
And again, Colleen was saying she was mentally prepared, she thought. You know, again, neighbors have been calling her and sending pictures, and she said, "Gene, I thought I was totally prepared when I came home on Saturday." And
did they cut their vacation short?
Yeah, they actually were coming home on Friday when the storm hit. But if you remember,
Thursday's when the storm hit,
or Friday after the storm hit. Remember, it was so windy that day.
Were they out camping?
They had their big camper, and I don't think they felt comfortable driving it in that wind.
No,
so they didn't come home until Saturday.
And which was fine, yeah.
But they were well aware of it.
And they had some friends of theirs, I think. They had called saying, "We might need a little help." And these friends showed up with, like, major equipment, which was fabulous.
Yeah, lots of big, the skid loaders, the big,
the grabbers.
The claws and all that.
Wow. Trucks to haul stuff away. Like, not just pickup trucks, massive trucks.
Well, so. Steve is in that construction business, so he has a lot of buddies.
Yep.
And their place was cleaned up pretty darn good by the time the Bergs got home.
Some of the major stuff,
I mean.
But they've got the trouble is with a lot of those big trees, they snapped at the top, so now you've got lots of big branches or the tops of those trees hanging.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're going to have probably some professional crews come out and take those down now, which they're still standing, but they're snapped off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a very dangerous situation.
Yeah. I've got a couple of those. You know, a lot of people were wondering, was it a tornado? Was it a straight line wind? And somebody said, I heard it was clocked at 65 miles an hour, the tornado moving through. And so I thought, well, I've been chasing tornadoes since 50 years ago. We always were out in the field letting people know what was going on. And now I don't want to do that. You know, but then I just did it. And so I know what a tornado does. And across the street on Across 20th, County Road 20, we have Rick and Bonnie, and they the ones with the big huge stone in their front yard. You go back there and you can see exactly where the tornado went,
the
way it took the trees.
Yeah.
And then you go down the road towards Highway 3, and I went up to Paul's place there, He had the same kind of a path going through his yard. Then I went down to Mahachek's, Tom's place, and they had the same thing behind their house. And so you just see, like, where it went.
Yep.
The neighbors behind the Bergs.
That farm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark was saying back a little bit behind them, and I've got to go see it today.
Yeah.
There's a spot in the woods where the trees are just, he said, kind of laying circular.
Oh, wow.
And in the center is absolute bare ground. No grass.
Wow.
No weeds, just bare dirt.
And that's right behind Bergs.
And that's right behind Bergs. And so is that where the tornado actually touched
down
and went back up, just sucking all that up? I don't know, but I don't know that much about
tornadoes.
That's a good example.
But so I need to go back and check that out sometime. Yeah. It's probably not going anywhere.
I went
there a while.
I went back there Saturday or yesterday. Yeah, it's a sight to see.
Mm-hmm.
It is 10:14 on 1080 Radio. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield's own radio station for almost 50 years. And my guests this morning are my neighbors, Gene Benson and Naomi Miesler. And our neighborhood consists of approximately 18...
It's over 20.
25.
Is up to that already? Oh, because of the cul-de-sac around in there? Okay. Wow. I think when I moved there, there was 17 or 16.
And we've had a few new houses, and we kind of count the ones out on, on 20 as well. Yeah.
Across the across the street? Oh, you're talking
across
about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy, yeah. Anyhow, our neighborhood, if you think about the letter P, okay, so now you're going south or east on County Road 20, which is just past Menards. You take a left, and you go 1 mile exactly, get to the top of the hill. If you take a right, the road is like a letter P. The base would be on 20, and then you just go around in a circle and finish the P, and then come back out. Well, inside that P is called the island, and the island has all the homes have one-acre lots. And inside that P are 3 one-acre lots. And Julie and I have two of them, a home on one. And then
Paul and Stacy
have the other one. And then all the other homes are on the outside of the P, and with hills behind them for lower oaks and all that. And so it's a beautiful neighborhood. And in the summertime, it's all the foliage and blah, 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 blah. And now if you go in there, it's I don't like to say like a war zone. I don't like to even compare anything to what our soldiers have gone through, men and women. But the ditches are full of huge trees. Huge. I didn't realize they were that big.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, I keep thinking, oh, I know what happened. I saw a guy this morning at about 8:30. And did you see him?
Well, I was in my bathrobe this morning when he pulls up, because I had gone over to the neighbor's.
In a white pickup truck?
Yep. And he goes, do you have some wood? I was told, are you Gene, and do you have some wood? And, of course, we had those big monster pieces of basswood sitting at the end of the driveway. And I said, help yourself. And he goes, a little too big.
Yeah.
He didn't want them.
Well,
he couldn't. There's no way we could get him into his truck.
Well, he was picking them off of Maze.
So I said, you know, anything in the ditches are fair game.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people ask about wood, but I think a couple of people have said, well, we'll take all you've got. And my sister and I look at each other and go, ha, that's a great joke. Good luck.
There was, I was working down at Reesburg's yesterday, and this big dump truck and wagon and skid loader. And I don't know if I remember the name of the company. I should have taken a picture of it, but they were from Mankato.
Yeah.
And
they contacted me
and
said, we are coming up. Tell us where to go. I was like, all right, well, here's an address. And they just stopped right at the first house because they clearly needed help. They brought the Bobcat as well and just donating their time because they were being kind. That's it.
She said, we do have one selfish motive.
Yeah.
And she said, we do burn firewood.
Yeah.
You know, we heat our house with it. So they took, I don't know.
A dump truck full.
Oh, was that the one with the flat trailer?
Yep.
Okay.
And they took... With his skid loader, or whatever you call it.
The Bobcat,
Bobcat. He just lifted those massive trunks that were at Reesburg's and just dumped them in his truck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there until his hydraulic hose broke.
Yeah.
And then he had to leave.
Yep.
But he said,
honestly, it's not selfish. If people can use this, put it to use, because it's filling our ditches and we don't have a spot for it.
The less the township has to move, the happier they will be, too.
So, folks, if you want some firewood, we have huge, huge pieces and smaller pieces.
Yeah.
And
only the stuff in ditches is the stuff that's fair game, but it's a lot.
Well, they can come in my backyard.
Oh, your backyard, great. Other people's, not so much.
Well, I still have that tree down.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, and all we were able to do is cut it away from the garage. Because it landed on the garage, and we got the top limbs off, but it's kind of kiddy-winky in there, whatever you say.
It's
hard to get to. And Tim Freeland came down. He went out and bought a brand new chainsaw. Tim Freeland used to work for Kim Radio, and he got the last one at Menards. And
town is all out as of last night.
And he said, and it wasn't on sale.
Bummer.
So he came out, gassed it up, oiled it up, and he cut off the limbs, but he didn't want to, we didn't want him to take a chance on cutting the high.
No.
You know how they lay on their side and there's, you know, well, let's get a ladder. No. So we'll let so if you know anybody that knows how to do that, send them over to our backyard.
I think our tree services are pretty busy these days. Yes. I have a my brother-in-law lives in Cannon Falls, and I thought, oh, maybe Ron can come over and help us. Safe's tree service, but he was solely contracted with the city, and he's, you know, his wife, my sister, was like, you know, thank you for calling us, but we cannot handle any more business. We are contracted by the city of Cannon Falls right now to do emergency and triage work only. If you have a branch on your roof, it's going to have to wait.
How did the golf course, your husband have some investment in the Summit Golf Course?
Yep, the Summit Golf Course near Cannon Falls, which is my husband's farm where he and his family grew up, is now the Summit Golf Course, and they had terrible damage as well. So that barn was flattened. Marty suspects maybe 300 to 400 of those big old majestic oaks have fallen on the course.
On the back nine.
Yep. I think the front nine is open.
Well, yeah. That's
and
open.
That's more open, and I think is open for business, but the back nine is in pretty tough shape,
that's
and it's just heartbreaking to see those majestic oaks just topple right over.
Are you a golfer?
I don't golf.
Oh. Well, did you ever cart around the back nine?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh, yeah. I've been on that property ever since I married Marty. It's a beautiful piece of property.
And there's no way anyone, well, I shouldn't say that, but most people don't walk that back nine.
No, I think a cart is required.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And all those trees went down back there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
sad. Lot in the yard, too, where the house and the barn were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a list of, or did she, your sister, take it with her? Or you do have it?
These gals are so organized. They kept a great log of who contributed and who helped.
Let's take a brief break here, and then let's go through the list and comment on those people that helped, and particularly the fine folks at the various retailers here in town.
Yep.
You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN the Monday after.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
We're back on KYMN Radio. A beautiful Monday morning. Today is the 24th day of September, and the year is 2018, and we are recording this, and you can download it anytime you'd like. I should have mentioned the date early on, but I failed to do so. But now that you're listening to the playback an hour and 23 minutes later, it is a Monday morning on the 24th day of September, the year 2018, at 10:23. In studio, my guests include Gene Benson and Naomi Measler, and they are my neighbors, and it was hectic in the neighborhood the last 4 days, and we do want to recognize some of those individuals that were very helpful when in need. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. Northfield had a lot of people and a lot of planning and a lot of work by especially Naomi and her sister Rachel, coordinators. These little girls, these little kids that I watch grow up are now in charge.
The Oak Hills.
Great job.
FEMA directors.
Yeah. Okay, and there are a lot of people that we'd like to recognize on the air.
So the list is definitely not complete because there's just no way to keep full track of who all just simply showed up. So thank you to everyone who did that. I mean, there's just no way to say every name. I wish we could. There's a massive list that we do know.
Now, when you mention them, I might interject.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Totally.
It's your show.
And you can interject too.
And we've already said some of these, but I want to just make sure and officially thank them, whether they give us help or other places in town, too. The cross-country team was amazing. The girls' swim team, the football team came out in pretty full force, I think. The Rotary Club had a lot of volunteers. Tons from Bethel Lutheran Church, including our two of our main people that helped us coordinate, Julie Jenkinson and Kristen Kivel, along with they helped Rachel and myself a lot. France and Bank had donuts and water and coffee right away on Friday morning. Jeff and Terry from KYMN here were amazing at checking in on people. We put out the all call for generators a couple nights ago because we knew what power was still out, and it was at the point where freezer food was going to go bad or else need to be frozen again. And that, I mean, I can't even list where all those contacts came from, but we have a lot of generators that showed up out of the blue.
I got to tell you that one of the generous donators is not, what's it, the new name, Fair?
Oh, so Family Fair.
Yeah, I got to tell you what happened there.
Okay.
When they finally got the place, you know, working to their satisfaction, and they introduced a new fresh fish counter in there. Yeah. So they had a lobster tail, buy one, get one free. And I thought, well, this is a good deal. I said, they were fresh, not in a tank, but, you know, on the ice. I said, can I freeze these? And they said, well, we have frozen ones on special, too. Same thing. And I thought, well, buy one, get one free, lobster. Okay, so I bought it, put it in the freezer for special event for my wife and I. By the way, I have had more candlelight dinners in the last bedroom than I had in my entire life. But anyhow, Julie was cleaning out the refrigerator. Everything's gone. And she says, Wayne, now the lobster's thawed out. What should I do with it? And I said, well, we better toss it. And the blood that runs from the meat, you know, it gets down and in the freezer. Oh, it was just a mess. And so she cleaned that all out, and I offered to help, but she said she's got it. You know how you get into something and you're just I'll get it done. So our refrigerator is bare except for maybe ketchup and mustard.
Right.
Okay, that was my story.
Nope, you're good. And while you're on that, Family Fair donated 16 cases of bottled water to us. They're the first ones to get water out to our neighborhood. We picked it up and delivered it late at night on Friday night. So thank you for that. The generators were a huge lifesaver. Patty and Tim Geary contacted us saying, hey, what can we do to help? And they just, I was like, well, food is still needed for, this was yesterday, with like less than 3 hours before lunch, they threw together food for 50 people, which was amazing. Some of it was donated from Culver's, which was really, really nice. The tavern we talked about earlier, they donated a bunch of food for meals the day before. Very appreciated and delicious. On Friday, right through Northfield Shares, and also huge shout out to Northfield Shares for everything they're doing for the entire community and surrounding area. Anybody who needs help or wants to help can contact them at info@northfieldshares.org.
I don't know if it was you or your sister that said that. Is it okay if he joins us this morning? And I said, well, yeah. But
yeah.
Was that you or your sister?
It was probably both of us.
Okay.
And it sounds like they have something else going on.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear if that's
okay.
An option. But they're doing a lot of really good work. And so if you send them an email, they'll connect you. And then through them, a staff member at Angie Craig's office contacted me saying, can we put together a group of volunteers for Sunday and come on down? And I was like, yeah, we're not turning away volunteers. No one's turning away volunteers. We need the hands. So they weren't sure if they were going to have more than about 5 people, but they were willing to come help. And they showed up yesterday in full force with well over 20 people.
Wow.
No publicity people. Angie Craig herself came down and was in our neighborhood volunteering. She was not wearing a t-shirt. A couple of volunteers had t-shirts on, but that was not their purpose. Their purpose was here to be extra hands. And then she did a Facebook post of a video saying, we're not knocking door to door right now. We're helping our community. So that was just huge. I mean, I don't even have the words to say how grateful our community is for support like that, that people just simply want to help. Exactly. Their hearts are in the right places, which is great. Walgreens donated a lot of water. I'm not sure offhand how many cases, but a ton of bottled water and batteries, which we were going through batteries like crazy with flashlights and things.
Hand sanitizer?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah,
where that
showed up
from.
But yeah, we had a lot of donated hand sanitizer, which was really good. Hand wipes, too. The local YMCA opened for showers for everyone in the community who needs them, as did St. Olaf Tostrud Center, anybody who needed a shower, which is really nice. Bryce is a gentleman from Dundas who contacted me, I think, originally about wood, although my mind's kind of a blur. He's amazing. He owns a company, I think it's called All Is Bright.
All Is Bright.
Mm-hmm. And so he does a lot of lighting things. But he just simply, he came out to pick up wood and stayed and helped. And then he and I were in contact. He wanted to know what else he could do to help. And so he just kept coming back. I don't know how many hours he spent out in our neighborhood just helping.
Yeah, he was, I worked with him at Julie and, yeah, and Rick's. Yeah. And he was just a go-getter. And
he is.
And
what's the name of the company?
All Is Bright. He's
did he provide some lamps?
I think he does lighting for like weddings and Christmas things stuff like that.
So
but
he
brought
Christmas
his chainsaw.
Trees. Yep.
And just his physical labor, he's got tons of energy, and I don't think he ever stops moving and helping.
Yeah, he was up in those trees at Risberg's just were like, be careful, and he knew what he was doing, and he just worked like a crazy guy all afternoon.
Wow.
So shout out to Bryce.
Yeah,
yay.
Totally. I don't know if I already said Culligan.
Say it again.
Okay, Culligan. By the time we were like, all right, clearly the power's not coming on for a while, and since we're on wells, that means there's no running water. So I think a friend of ours, Lori Oberto, contacted them and said, hey, is there any chance we have getting water donated? And they said, yes, happy as a clam to donate. And as much as we needed, we just kept returning the empty 5-gallon jugs and getting more. I think it's well over 50 that have been donated by this point, which is amazing.
And for those that, when you think of water, of course, you need it to hydrate, et cetera. But what was great were these 5-gallon bottles you could tip upside down into the base of your toilet.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
And fill the toilet up so you could flush it, because we're on a well and the well is run with electricity. So once you flush the toilet once, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I had some dirty dishes in my sink that were driving me crazy. And so I took a lot of that water, heated it up on our gas grill out on the deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I had hot water to at least wash those dishes that were driving me crazy. So, so Culligan's water was more than helpful.
Oh, very, extremely helpful, yeah.
You know, because remember I said that when I think of something, I better say it.
Yeah.
Okay. The organizer in our neighborhood of, you're saying, over 20 houses now, is Nancy Johnson.
Oh,
yeah. Nancy and Jim.
I know.
But you know what? I didn't see them around much because they really got wiped out on trees.
Well, Nancy's...
Jim and Nancy, yeah, their place got really hit badly, too. But Nancy has been in France.
Yeah, so she's not even
around. Oh, no wonder I didn't see her.
And Jim has been home. And Nancy, we just love her to pieces. When my kids were little, I mean, Nancy's in charge of our wells. And I remember when my kids were little, is Nancy the ruler of our neighborhood? And I'm like, you know, she is.
Yeah.
And I say that very lovingly.
Yeah.
And because she's...
Oh, yeah.
She takes good care of all
very
of us.
Much so.
She's in the wintertime, for some reason, we had to figure out the property line because of where our house is. And I could not find, I don't know how to do all this stuff. And she came out in her boots and coat and gloves and flashlight. And we found the water turner on her, you know, because I thought it would be out by the front, and it's out in the back, you know, because I think it serves both my house and the doctor's house. But anyhow, yes, Nancy Johnson is the go-to lady.
And so we've been kidding all weekend that maybe Nancy is maybe...
being replaced.
She has deputies and maybe being replaced, but Nancy will never be replaced.
No.
But Nancy has been in France with some girlfriends, and I know this has just been killing her not to be here. And she's been texting, please send pictures, please send pictures. And her daughter and Laura and her husband Steve came for the weekend to help Jim. And
they put in hours,
And I keep texting Nancy. I said, you're going to be shocked when you come home. It's going to look totally different. Mm-hmm. We miss you.
Yeah,
you know, but just be prepared.
You know, isn't it just amazing how little damage to the houses.
Yes.
Oh, that's the
miracle. All those trees
that
down.
That is the miracle. Yep.
You think it was Boyum and Franum that put that place together, figured out, let's see, now we'll put the house this far away from this cut so that...
They tried to preserve all those the beautiful woods out there, you know, and so again, it's pretty sad to see a lot of that down now, but
And we were thinking Culligan last, I think.
Yep, and that's pretty much all we have. We just have lots and lots of our personal family friends, and I think every single neighbor has the exact same thing. So just a big shout-out to everyone who knows everyone in our neighborhood and in the community that's been hit. I mean, we've been hearing stories of people going out to the Holmquists, just showing up, going out to the Red Barn Pizza Farm, just showing up, and just it goes on and on and on and on. So there's no way to thank every single individual like I wish we could, but thank you to the whole community. And truly, like, the power companies, too, and the internet and the cable. And, I mean, every once in a while they'll drive through just to check on us and make sure we're doing okay and make sure gas lines are okay or whatever. And they're more than willing to chat and share whatever updates they know. They wish they could move faster, and there's just not simply the manpower to do it. So thank you to all of them, too.
I think I had heard, too, that we were one of the last neighborhoods to
Well, I remember pulling over because you were saying, hey, did you hear where we're at on the power thing? And he said, yeah, we're waiting for the good news. And he said, we're dead last. We're the last ones they're going to put together.
I have to chuckle looking back, too, because we would hear maybe tonight or 3 or 4 days. The next day. Maybe tonight or 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
I think they were just dangling out that little hope. So they came through the neighborhood yesterday afternoon with their big truck. And what's the power company? Was it Steel Waseca?
Steel Waseca,
Steel Waseca.
Yeah, and so we're like cheering as the truck comes through the neighborhood in the afternoon. And they were just checking all of our transformers. And they said, you know, there were still poles down on Highway 20, but they were really hoping that we were going to, between 5 and 7 last night, have power.
Mm-hmm. And
it happened.
What I wondered is, what the heck was the Charter guy doing out there?
Charter and Spectrum just kept circling.
And Rachel talked to them a bunch, too. They were checking to make sure that everything was up and ready, so as soon as power was there, we would be good to go. And making sure lines were down.
When I asked the guy, you know, I says, what are you talking to Randy for? He doesn't have Charter. He's got a dish. And he says, well, he's got internet.
Oh, okay. The Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Cable.
And so I said, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm changing filters. whatever that means. What do you mean, changing filters? Well, we're going into a higher speed, so we have to have a different thing because you're going to be Spectrum now, and I'm changing the filters. And I said, well, what does it mean to me? And he says, well, when you turn your Wi-Fi on, be sure you unplug them first and then plug this one in first and then this one in second after 5 minutes. By the time I get to tell Julie who handles that part, I forgot which one you plugged in first. So I don't even know if we got Wi-Fi. Do we have Wi-Fi? You know?
I don't know. Well, our dad was using internet, so he must have.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have power.
Pardon me?
Can we take a break?
Take a break? Yep, we can take a break. We'll be right back on KYMN Radio. I'll turn your microphones off. And we are at 22. Go ahead, take your break. Do what you got to do. I guess they're getting a lot of phone calls here.
Hello, this is Josh Gare. My wife and I received bad news in 2006 when I was diagnosed with cancer. In addition to my growing health concerns, medical bills were piling up. I beat cancer, but I learned the struggles families face with the skyrocketing cost of health care. I'm running to be your state representative to be a voice at the Capitol who will fight for affordable health care. I will work across the aisle to lower costs and ensure you are able to keep your doctor. November 6th, vote for me, Josh Gare, to be your next state representative.
Paid for by Friends of Josh Gare.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation, choice, tradition.
Ring of my phone. A ring of my phone. A ring of my phone.
Well, someone I'm sure that Gina's heard of, you probably never heard of her. This is Brenda Lee with Ring of My Phone.
Ring of my telephone.
The reason I played that is because you were both on your phones during that
sorry
break.
Sorry about that.
Had to check things quick, make sure nobody okay needs things.
Okay. So you're still on the job?
We're good.
They haven't
okay
been fired.
Good to go.
No. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So both you and your sister work at Mike's Bike Shop?
No, we work at Downtown Bicycles,
oh,
which
what,
is on
what?
Division Street. Mike's Bikes hasn't been around for about a year.
Oh.
But Downtown Bicycles is an amazing
is that where
place.
Tiny's was?
Yep, mm-hmm, in the Tiny's okay building. Yep. We have the best supervisors on the planet.
Did you ever go on Tiny's when you were younger?
I think once, but very few memories.
Okay. A lot of people were told, don't go
yeah
into
exactly
Tiny's.
Yeah. I think I was sitting there with a friend to get a hot dog.
Yeah. I love their chili dogs and their icky eggies and the conversation and the people. My wife graduated from Northfield High School, and it was off limits to yep girls to go into Tiny's. Mm-hmm. And she said when she was taking her driver's lessons that, you know, the boys hung outside of Tiny's and smoked their cigarettes. And the driving instructor made her parallel park right in front of Tiny's. And she's all those boys were looking at me, and she said she felt so icky. But anyhow, once again, folks, you're listening to KYMN Radio. Apologize for the fact that, unfortunately, we're not being able to broadcast on 1080 AM or 95.1 FM for a couple of days, but we're streaming all along. And that's because the power was out here at the studios in downtown Northfield. And then, of course, the power is out in Waterford Township, where the transmitter is located. But we're on the air live and in color, and I have two guests from my neighborhood. And I thought, what better than to tell the saga of what neighbors are like when they get together under pressure. I'm sure there are many of you listening that also could say, boy, I'll tell you what, our neighborhood got hit, or somebody got hit, and we all helped out. We have Naomi Miesler with us. Her sister Rachel had to get to work, and Gene Benson is with us. And some of you that don't know it, she's married to Marty Benson, who, what bank is he at?
Community.
Community, okay.
And Community Bank was great, too.
Yeah, let's mention it.
Well, Denny Hansen, who is the president,
you know,
at
I know him.
At and Community.
Doesn't he look like a bank president?
I guess.
Well, I mean,
I hadn't thought about it.
He's tall and good looking.
Oh, yeah, of course
and,
he is.
You know.
Well, he came out Friday morning. You know, Marty's one of the bank officers that has to report to duty in case of emergencies. He's one of the officers. So Marty on Friday morning drives through the yard
and
up the ditch because
you couldn't
we
get
couldn't
out
get out. So Marty had to tend to things at the bank. But a few hours later, Denny came out and he brought us some phone chargers, and he, you know, it was just so great to see him, and he, you know, obviously cared about his employees, and he had been out driving, looking at different customers, yeah, you know, properties that had been damaged. And then on Saturday, I wasn't there at the time, but Denny and his wife came out, and they raked our entire yard.
Oh,
bless
yeah
their little hearts. They were working so hard.
Shout out to Denny and Chris, too, for their good help from Community Bank.
Were you sitting there thinking, hey, I don't have to do that. They're getting it done.
Well, you
raking
know,
raking the yard is not a pleasure.
Well, not with all the debris. I mean, yeah, you know, and but it was interesting, too. I was helping Colleen and Steve, and Colleen starts raking, and I'm kind of thinking, oh, raking is probably the last priority. But, you know, it was kind of calming, and just it looked tidy, just that section
it's
to look tidy.
You can do to
you
make
can
it
do
look good.
And
yeah
make it look like it used to. So mm-hmm just even raking just makes you feel good.
one of the pleasures, I guess, or however you want to look at it, is my daughter was doing similar things, cleaning up in the yard, and she said, "Dad, look what I found. The cutest little tiny hummingbird nest."
Aww.
And I had just filled the hummingbird feeder for the last time on Thursday, and that was gone. So I hope the hummingbirds were gone.
You know, and you know, I know tornadoes do strange things, you know, but it was, yeah, things that stayed standing and things that did not, you know, is pretty strange. I mean, like my flower pots and whatnot.
Hammocks.
Hammocks stayed totally in the fine. Place, but there were massive trees down on them. You know, it's just, yeah, it's just the funniest little things that surprised.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. When I first got into broadcasting, I was in Tomah, Wisconsin, and a tornado went through on a farm. This is an absolute true story. And my boss said, "Go out to that farm and get an interview." Well, back in those days, there were big Wallen sacks, reel to reel. And, I mean, they're like 40 pounds. It isn't like today you can hold your thumb up and they can record in it. So I went out to this farmhouse. And I was from St. Paul, and I had never seen a tornado damage before. And I went in, and the first thing was they took me upstairs, and the whole upstairs, no farmhouse, was just, all the walls were full of glass, you know, the shards from the windows. Okay, but here's the one. This is unbelievable. We go downstairs, we're in an old farmhouse with an old-fashioned dining room table, and chairs, and dishes on the table, and the tablecloth was missing. The dishes were still on the table, but the tablecloth was gone. And I go, "Are you kidding me?" No, you know. Oh,
yep. Tornadoes
are
weird
things for sure. So it's already 13 minutes approximately. Why don't I give the exact time? None of this approximately. It's 10:46:43. 10:46:45 now. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, let's wrap her up. And any final stories? Well, more people to thank, of course.
Well, power was restored.
Yep. I just got a text from a neighbor saying we have internet and cable now. Okay. So everybody's good there except for probably your house.
Our house. So the story on our house, we don't have power. And I think when that bass went, it cut the power line.
To your house.
Just to our house. And we were afraid it was live.
Power line?
Underneath. So when that tree fell.
Oh, really?
It was embedded in the roots. And so it snapped. And so first things first, we wanted to make sure it wasn't live.
Yeah.
So anybody would get hurt. That was our main concern. So I think Tony Guth is going to be hopefully coming out sometime today to take a look at it, because that's something the power company doesn't do, because it's from the box to our house. So.
Well, he's got to be bowling at 4 o'clock.
Oh, dear. Okay, I hope he gets to our house before then. So, you know, and again, the neighbors are like, "Why are you still running your generator?"
Yeah, that, I heard it, and I'm going, "Who's got a generator?
Who's dumb enough still running their generator?" So hopefully, maybe by the time I get home, we've got power. So
what do you have plugged into yours? I mean, what was your priority?
Well, just our freezer downstairs, because that was pretty full of stuff, and the refrigerator upstairs. But what I didn't realize is that you can't plug your coffee pot into or your toaster, because I popped the circuit breaker on the generator this morning.
Really? Why was that?
Well, I think there's only I don't know, but I think there's only so many things that you can plug into a generator.
How many outlets did you have?
Well, Marty stuck a big one on there, so I just kept plugging in.
Yeah. Well, mine was wonderful, easy to pull, and. Ran out of down to a quarter, filled it up again. It's full right now.
Yeah.
And it had three outlets. And what do you think I plugged in first and foremost?
Coffee pot?
Nope.
Your radio?
Turn. Nope. Got battery operated. Your turn.
Freezer?
Nope.
I don't know.
Hair dryer?
Nope. A television.
Oh.
So I sat on the deck and watched the Vikings get their butt kicked yesterday.
Our neighbor, Paul, went to the Vikings game. He worked like a maniac in the morning, chainsawing the neighbor's trees down the backyard.
Yeah, he and his son.
And then they went to the Viking game, and then they came back, and I said, I think you would have had more fun if you would have stayed home.
And he said, yeah. We definitely would have.
Paul, which Paul?
Your neighbor, yeah, your backyard by, neighbor.
Oh,
neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think one last thing I'd like to say is,
sure.
We haven't said it enough. Thank you. There's not enough words for us to express our gratitude for our neighborhood as well as the surrounding community to everyone. It's been amazing. Especially when people just, we are all, there's a lot of us in our neighborhood that are very able-bodied and capable of moving things. We all only have so much energy and stamina, and you can work 20 hours a day and just completely wipe yourself out, and to have to do that for 3 solid days, people are exhausted. That's why I don't have a voice. I've been talking too much. But there's just to have people show up and just simply, even if they show up, there are a couple people that showed up and said, I don't have a lot of physical capability. What can I do? That's great. We'll take you. We'll take your 10 minutes of energy. We'll take your 3 hours of energy. We'll take your 27 days of energy. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Like, it's just, it's so, so appreciated. So thank
you. And I agree. I mean, it was just so overwhelming when people started coming in with their chainsaws. And so, yes, we are in deep, deep appreciation for all those folks. And, it was pretty overwhelming. Just so many amazing acts of kindness, and it's just very humbling.
I have to say that I specifically remember you, but the sense of humor that all of us had.
You were
kind of the leader in that.
We were trying to think of the bright side. Yeah. It's like, well, now we'll be able to grow grass.
I never thought of that.
With all our trees, we've struggled for years. And so many of us have hostas, and we're like, oh, our hostas are not going to be happy anymore because they're going to be in full sun. Mm-hmm. And some of us were like, oh, and we're going to have to get drapes. because now we can see into the neighbors.
Yes, right.
I mean, we have drapes in our bedrooms, obviously, but the rest of our house, we haven't needed them, and we just love the openness. And so now we're like, hello over there, hello over there. So, little things like that. I think for the next year, as we go through the seasons, it's going to be interesting.
I noticed it yesterday in the setting sun. That I could sit on the deck and
the sunset now.
Yeah. Yeah. But for those of you that aren't aware, the neighborhood is called Oak Hills Upper.
Upper
South.
Oak Hills.
Anyhow, it's over 20 homes. All homes are on a 1-acre lot. So our neighbors are our neighbors, but not, you can't have a conversation across from one window to the next. So we enjoy that privacy, and then all these trees that are gone, of course, that's lost. And like you said, I'll say it may sound kind of, a man's castle is when he can go to the bathroom anywhere in his yard without worrying about the neighbors, and that's the way it was. But you bring up the point. The grass might start growing in our front yard and backyard.
People are going to have to buy lawnmowers.
And once we get this all cleaned up, though, in the future, there'll be less leaf raking.
Yeah.
See, there's a positive.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in this morning, and I'm going to try to get a hold of Pat and Winter and see if he'll be available tomorrow. And chit-chat. Any last things? I'm going to do a little bit of Johnny Cash before we leave.
Yeah, and I'll just say again, if anybody needs more help, needs more volunteers, lots of people are still wanting to come out of the woodwork for that. If anybody wants to help, both sides can contact info@northfieldshares.org for that.
All right.
They've been great.
And tell the gentleman from Northfield Shares that we would have been more than happy to maybe even tomorrow.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
They've got a big event tonight.
They have a really big event tonight, so they're busy.
Maybe tomorrow you can stop by. You can let me know.
We will be in contact,
okay. Well, thank you very much. My guest this morning first was Rachel Miesler. She had to go to work at 10. Naomi, her twin sister, is here, and thank you. And,
you're welcome.
Of course, Gene Benson. Thank you, all my neighbors, and I've seen a lot of you the last 4 days, and I appreciate everything that you both did for the neighborhood, particularly you twins, wonderful organizers. It's The little girls.
The little girls are all grown up, and they're, you know, we just love them to death. We just do. And
they're
so
kind.
Thank you, Rachel and Naomi, for all that you did. It's just been a blessing.
We just want to get people the help they need, so you're welcome. Thanks, Lane.
I'm going to end with a song here, and it's by Johnny Cash. It's kind of short, but are you Johnny Cash fans, anybody?
Mm.
Well...
Have at it, Wayne. She's like, who's Johnny Cash?
Well, yeah.
I know who Johnny Cash is.
Well, listen, this is appropriate. I don't know. I guess things just happen that way.
Well, you ask me if I'll forget my baby. I guess I will someday. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. You asked me if I'll get along. I guess I will, some way. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. God gave me that girl to lean on, then he put me on my own. Heaven help me be a man and have the strength to stand alone. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. You asked me if I'll miss her kisses. I guess I will, every day. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. You asked me if I'll find another. I don't know, I can't say. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. God gave me that girl to lean on, then he put me on my own. Heaven help me be a man, have the strength to stand alone. I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way.
Well, if you can't be my loving baby, you ain't got to stop. I'm gonna get some real darn love that'll drive the two gal wild. I wanna move on down the line. Yeah, I wanna get some love, and love is truly fine. Yeah, I wanna move on down the line. I wanna get some love, it's truly fine. She'd be cool and do me wrong. Twice as gone, we're gonna roll on down the line. Oh, do right all the time. Yeah, I wanna move on down the line. I wanna get some love that's truly fine. She'd be cool and do me wrong. She'd be cool and twice as gone, we're gonna roll on down the line. Oh, I wanna do right. Show it ain't so hot. I'm gonna get what she ain't got. She'll be cool and do me wrong. She'll be cool and twice as gone. We're gonna roll on down the line. Yeah, I wanna do right all the time. Well, I wanna move on down the line. I wanna get some love, it's truly fine. She'll be cool and do me wrong. Twice as gone, we're gonna roll on down the line. Oh, I wanna do right all the time. Yeah, I wanna do right all the time.
little bit of Ricky Nelson on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial for 50 years come Thursday, and of course 95.1, the one FM. Just got word that Flom, which is, I don't want to say garbage company, disposal, there we go, Flom Disposal, which works the neighborhood we were just talking about, said they are going to come through today and do a pickup free. Free. The normal pickup would be next week, but they're coming through today to pick up. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate the fact that KYMN Radio is on the air, live and in color. It's a Monday. You know what that means? That means it's time for 15 with the Author with Terry Knight.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
In the 1990s, a purity industry emerged out of the white evangelical Christian culture. Purity rings, purity pledges, and purity balls came with a dangerous message. Girls are potential sexual stumbling blocks for boys and men. My guest today on 15 with the Author is Linda K. Klein. She is out with her book, Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the sex education you grew up with. I have to ask you first, how difficult was it for you to write this book? What did that take?
Oh, you're really hitting straight at the heart to begin with.
Yeah.
It was definitely a journey. I mean, this book took me 12 years to research and write. And there's a reason for that. And it's not only because it's a really complex issue that is, I think, would be difficult even if it had no emotional content. But the main reason it took me so long is because, you know, on a personal level, this was really, really hard to do. Not only was I telling my own stories, you know, things that I had experienced deep sexual shame about, you know, in terms of my fear of being shamed by my home community for many years, and now would be exposing them to the public,
right.
Potential shaming at scale. But moreover, you know, I think the thing that was the most difficult for me was just wanting to make sure that I told other people's stories in a way that was honoring, and that would, you know, create more healing. And, you know, sometimes people would come to me with fear. Sometimes people in my community would come to me with fear, you know, expressing that they felt like this wasn't a healing act, you know, sharing these stories of pain and trauma and shame and anxiety and fear, mm-hmm. but that, in fact, it was a harmful act, that I would be hurting the church and thus hurting, you know, people's potential salvation.
Right.
So it felt like a great weight that I was carrying, and mm-hmm. And so I think that's the main reason that it took me a dozen years
sure.
to really be able to get here. You know, on a level, on a professional level, being able to produce something that I felt really good about, but also on a personal level, mm-hmm. being able to say I'm ready. I'm ready to tell my truth and to tell the truths of others who have trusted me to tell their truths.
Right.
You know, and we'll see what happens from here.
Well, and I think my own personal opinion is sometimes when you say something out loud, it takes some power away from it. So if you say it out loud, then your mind gets a little bit released because you're not carrying all of that inside yourself. So there's a bit of a weight lifted.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. And in many ways, you know, this 12 years, you know, was a healing journey. One of the reasons mm-hmm. I'm ready to do this today was specifically because of 12 years of, you know, through the interview process, essentially putting myself through narrative therapy because I was telling my story over and over and over again to people who heard and understood because it
right.
was their story. And then listening to my story told back to me and the stories of others. And that story exchange, you know, was was really why I can say today that I'm in a very different place than I was at the beginning of this journey.
We are talking with Linda K. Klein. She is the author of Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free. Now, I grew up a while ago, I grew up Baptist, and I don't recall any of this type of teaching in the Christian faith. What's, of course, it was well before the 90s, but what's the difference between a Christian and an evangelical Christian?
Great question. So Christian would be sort of the biggest umbrella, and then underneath Christian you have Catholics and Protestant Christians. And then underneath Protestants, you have all kinds of different categories, but they can be split into two. One is mainline Protestants. Mainline would be Lutherans and Episcopalians and Methodists, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then the other category is evangelicals. And evangelicals include lots of different groups. The trick is that the evangelical word is actually the description of a subculture. So there are people who align with evangelicalism who are part of